Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ron, let's go right back out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we find our friend Ray Fittipaldo. He covers the Steelers. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Ray, once again today in the NFL, COVID news, not the best. The Jets apparently have a positive test. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet, but their facility is closed. Other games are moving around. Patriots facility is closed. What do you make of all this, and what will your solution be if you're the NFL? Would you create a week 18 or at least somewhere in the schedule a makeup week? Is it time for that, or do you have another solution to all of this?
No, Joe, I think you're on the right track there. I think, you know, this year with fans probably not going to be allowed to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, we don't know that for sure yet, but I don't think there's any reason not to push back the Super Bowl. I think that's part of the solution. I think you could push the playoffs back. And listen, it might mess with being the number one seed this year, but in order to, you know, for fairness and for all these teams to try to get in these 16 games, I think you just extend the regular season. You make a week 18, maybe even a week 19 if things get bad, and then you end up playing the Super Bowl in late February or, you know, even early March. I know the NFL doesn't want to do that. They want to, you know, stick to their off-season calendar, but I don't really see any other solution. I think forfeits are a last resort, and I just don't see that being an option at this point.
You know, I was going to ask you that, Ray, because the sentiment for that seems to be growing. You know, and I know Joe, my partner, believes that the Titans absolutely should be penalized. I am against it. I just think it goes to the integrity of the game. There's other ways to punish a team. I mean, what would it take? Would it have to take? I mean, it looks like they violated the protocol. So what do you do to Tennessee?
Yeah, for the Titans, I think, you know, obviously there's carelessness and there's even negligence on their part in enforcing the COVID-19 protocols. But I think you could remedy that situation by docking them a first-round pick or, you know, a second-round pick, third-round pick, whatever you think is right in that situation if you're Roger Goodell. I just don't think you go to the steps of forfeiting. You know, at this point, I mean, we see it going on in other places. You know, it's not Tennessee's fault that Cam Newton got the coronavirus, and now it seems to be an issue in New England. Or what's going on with the Jets? I guess that story just broke within the last hour that, you know, I was getting down here to the Steelers facility. So I think we all knew it was going to happen. And if you listen to the Steelers players this week, they're not in favor of that either. I mean, even though, you know, some of them might go on social media and say, oh, what about a forfeit? You know, we talked to Marquise Pouncey this morning. A lot of those players don't want to go down that road because I think everyone realizes that that could be the Steelers in the future, and it might be through no fault of their own.
Ray, what's your gut feel here on T.J. Watt? Were you surprised by that yesterday?
A little bit. I know he was dealing with that, you know, during the off week too, and, you know, kind of nursing him along. So if that game would have ended up being played, I think you might have seen him on the injury report that week. So I know it's been an issue for about a week or so. I don't think it's great news that he was a full participant on Wednesday and then he sat out yesterday. So I'm going to head out there and watch practice after I'm done talking to you guys. We'll have a better idea, you know, later on this afternoon. We'll release the injury report around 3 or 4. But it's something he's been dealing with. He's been able to play through it, but we'll see if that's different this week.
Boy, Ray, what a loss that would be, right? I mean, we were talking earlier. Are there two or three better defensive players in the league than that guy? I can't name them.
No, and, you know, listen, Ron, we saw how Chase Claypool's development was sped up by the injury to Deontay Johnson, and I think if that happens, we would see the same thing with third-round pick Alex Highsmith. You know, I think he and Ola Adeyemi would be involved in sort of a rotation there if TJ could not play, but he's going to have to step up. And I know he's been playing 12 or 15 snaps a game. You know, if TJ doesn't play, you would obviously see that go up to around 30 or 35 snaps a game. So that would be a big thing for him. You know, obviously the Steelers are keeping their fingers crossed. We'll see what happens today. But obviously, yeah, it would be a huge loss. You're talking about taking out an NFL Defensive Player of the Year candidate, you know, and trying to get by with an undrafted free agent and a rookie third-round pick. Of course there's going to be a drop-off.
Small sample size for sure. But in Highsmith, I think I've seen some of that burst and a little bit of that power that made them enticed by him, Ray. What have you seen from him? Would you be optimistic that he could be at least not a liability in the game and maybe even a difference maker?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to expect him to be a difference maker in his first NFL start, but, you know, in a time-sharing situation with a guy like Adeyemi, I think Adeyemi has played okay this year. He's had a few opportunities for sacks. He, you know, kind of let one or two get away, but he's been a guy who's been effective in the past, and I think they could get by in that situation. And listen, guys, it's early in the season. If there's any question about this injury lingering or if you think he would be well-served by a week's rest, I think obviously the Steelers would take the careful approach, you know, in that situation. But a lot of times, and, you know, this is the case with Juju Smith-Schuster. They've been nursing a knee injury with him for years. You know, he just sometimes, you know, the guys just need rest. So I don't know what the situation is with TJ. Maybe it's something where he's just going to have to deal with it all season. But he's not a guy who usually misses a lot of games. If he can be out there, he's going to want to be out there Sunday. And if he's not out there, then I think, you know, it's something that's fairly, you know, significant in terms of him not being able to get out there to play.
Ray, one of the most amazing stats I've ever seen, and we had a guy on from Philadelphia pointed this out to me yesterday. The Eagles played the 49ers on Monday night. George Kittle was targeted 15 times and had 15 catches. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Can we expect something to happen this week, perhaps, with Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron?
Yeah, I think that's a great possibility. The Eagles are a little bit depleted with injuries all over their roster, but that's especially the case with their secondary, and they didn't really do a great job of defending the middle of the field last week against the 49ers. I'm not sure how they won that game. Well, I know. I mean, the 49ers turned the ball over, so you know that was the number one you know issue for the 49ers in that game. But yeah, I think Eric Ebron. We saw him sort of break out a little bit in that Texans game. He had that big touchdown pass early to get them back into that game. And I would expect, you know, any time a team struggles the way the Eagles struggled against Kittle, the Steelers see that. And I would expect Ebron and Vance McDonald to be a big part of the game plan this week. The Eagles don't have a bad defense, but I think their strength is up front with their defensive line, their ability to rush the passer. They lead the NFL in sacks, but I definitely think you can take advantage of them over the middle of the field and in their depleted secondary as well.
Real quick before I get your prediction on the game, and I'm not sure if you already mentioned this, do you get the sense that T.J. Watt injured his knee during this 2 weeks without a game or in one of the previous games?
I don't know for sure, Joe, but I do know that it became an issue during practice in the week leading up to the Titans game when that was supposed to be played. But he very well could have been dealing with that in the Texans game. I mean, it didn't seem like it. I mean, he was all over the field in that game. But it might have been a lingering issue or he might have done it during practice. We don't know. TJ is not scheduled to talk to us today, so we'll see where that goes. But to answer your question, I'm not quite sure.
Who wins and what's the score?
I like the Steelers, guys. I think they're going to get to 4-0 for the first time since 1979. You know, people were talking about, you know, when are they going to break out? When are they going to play a complete game? I don't know if it's going to happen this week either. I think the Eagles are probably better than their 1-2-1 record, but I'm going to go Steelers 27, Eagles 16. I think they pull away in the second half, probably much in the same way they did against the Houston Texans.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Up next, a CBS Sports Radio host has ripped Ben Roethlisberger. I'll tell you why. Next.